A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
That's right. That's what this city's all about. That's what this city is all about. Bad boys. Houston Texans, bad boys of the NFL. Azeez Al-Shaair decapitated Trevor Lawrence. D'Amico Ryans said it was Trevor Lawrence's fault. Nick Caserio called the NFL BS for slandering the great name of Azeez Al-Shaair. And then last night, the Rockets said, you know what? It's our turn. You got, yes, a loss to the Sacramento Kings. Doesn't matter. They've advanced to the quarterfinal stages of the NBA Cup of Life. You've got Ime Udoka and Alperen Şengün getting ejected from a game after going after the refs. And you got Tari Eason being restrained from going into the stands.
Full on hold my beer.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Full on hold my beer, Paul.
I loved it. I love every single second of it. The Astros are already there. They've been there. They've been there for a while. You know that meme that you see online where you've got a young Splinter with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles who are not teens, they're toddlers, and now you've got a moment where all the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles have grown up and Splinter's an old man. Splinter's the Astros. The Rockets and Texans are the rest of it, and I'm just so proud. I'm so proud that this city is just extending one middle finger, two middle fingers to the entire rest of the world.
Honestly, I think the Astros are going to have to step their game up. They're falling too far behind. There's only two guys left. Only one guy that plays right now from 2017 if Alex Bregman's gone. Mm-hmm. They got to step up their game. They got to throw out Ohtani. Like they got to step it up. They got to join the fray.
Is that the next step? Throwing at Ohtani.
Or Aaron Judge or whoever.
That might create an international incident.
They might have to throw at Alex Bregman if he goes to another team. Like, they got to step up their game with what's going on right now. I love Ime Udoka. He is my favorite coach. I am so glad he is the head coach of the Houston Rockets.
Here's Ime Udoka after last night's loss talking to the media, and I think he is going to be getting a hefty fine from the National Basketball Association.
Wasn't too happy about the officiating today. What was going on? What did you see out there on the floor that you was disappointed?
Missed calls, blatant missed calls right in front of you. You know, you're calling ticky tack, moving screens, and little shit like that, and then you don't want to call the obvious ones right in front of you. So that was it. Alpi got fouled a few times on that drive and on the layup, and they don't want to call it. And so I'm get some f-ing glasses. Open your eyes.
How important is it in those moments for you to stand up for your team so that they know you have their back?
I mean, it wasn't even about that, honestly. Alpi got one, but take your sensitivity and emotions out of it and call the game the right way. It's obvious right in front of you, and, John Goble, whoever it was, sees it and doesn't call it, and I'm going to let him know about it.
You made it. Did John say anything in your conversation that kind of escalated it for you?
No. Been missing calls all night and calling moving screens and every other little touch call the obvious one.
I love how we're calling that a conversation. I mean, Ime Udoka is literally trying to intimidate the referee on the court there. And I love it. I love every second of it.
I thought there was going to be an accident on the court, to be honest with you. I think he was going to poop his pants.
He looked
terrified.
The referee
Before the assistant coach grabs Ime, you see him. He jumps back.
Yes, he does.
Like, he's startled.
He does. The second time Udoka advances, the ref startles. And I got to say, the ref's hair, or lack thereof, is making him look like he would not be able to hold his own there. Maybe he's got some MMA experience or something like that.
No. He looks like an accountant that became a referee. Like, he doesn't look like he belongs. Like,
he looks like the energy vampire in What We Did in the Shadows, the TV show. He looks like that. This was a fantastic moment. And I don't know how many people are watching on YouTube or watching on Twitch, but I came in wearing some, I think, appropriate clothes today. I have spiked shoulder pads on. I have multiple teardrops under my eye. One for Trevor Lawrence. RIP. I don't know nothing about that. Two, it's for that referee. He's still kicking. I don't know nothing about what's about to happen to him either. I am wearing a leather biker jacket. I don't know what gang this is. Probably shouldn't have taken it from the chair it was left at last night. I am wearing assless chaps. You know me. Got to stay true to the Paul Gallant brand. I am here dressed like a villain. Do I have a Glock? Do I have a Tech 9? I don't know. But if you get in my face, I'm pulling it out. Am I going to shoot it? I don't know. I might just point it at you sideways.
Sean, let's not piss off Paul today.
Yeah, man. I look like the Las Vegas Raiders archetype right now. So you should be watching on YouTube and on Twitch to actually see what I'm wearing today, because I'm here for my city. Bury me in the H? No, I'm going to bury you in the H, outside the H, in a swamp in New Jersey, like I'm Tony Soprano?
I think that needs to be like the new t-shirt. We're going to bury you in the H. They need to flip it. Like Apollo, whoever wants to take, you know, we'll take a 5% cut, 10% cut.
Mm-hmm.
20% cut?
100% cut.
Okay, fine. 100% cut.
Joe, that's wearing...
We're going to hold them up by their ankles and dangle until all the money comes out.
I mean, I got Road Warrior Paul sitting next to me right now.
Road Warrior Paul is here. The spiked shoulders, the teardrops, the face paint. I mean, we're taking 100%, Joe.
Take it all and never give it back.
I got my Glock. What? You don't want to mess with me. You don't want to mess with our city, because I put on for it. You think Adam Clannon puts on for his city with those little videos he does online? Nope, not like me. Not like me. Not like Ime Udoka. Not like Aziz Alshaier. Not like Nick Caserio. Not like D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans, you got to step your energy up. I love the way that this city, from a sports perspective, is all of a sudden saying F you. And look, let's be honest, it's going to go away in a couple of days. Ime Udoka maybe will have another one in him.
I don't think the Rockets will go away.
Well, the Rockets aren't going away as a team. Again,
the attitude. Like, this is kind of, I think this might be who they are.
This is, I truly am all about it. I really, this Rockets team is so much more likable than the last couple of teams that were good. And yeah, last night was frustrating. Jalen Green actually played well, but the Terror Twins, as they called them, yeah, they both sucked on offense. And I mean, Tari's, and like, relax a little bit, okay? You're going to get suspended for multiple games if you go into the stands. Maybe you get suspended for
he might get anyways.
Right.
They weren't great last night. I mean, like, Jalen Green, that 4-point play was sick, and he thought the game was going to be, they were going to kind of run away with it at that point. I went to put the little guy to bed, and all of a sudden I came back, and they're losing by 13 points.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm catching up on the game. Like, what happened to this team? Yeah, last night's game, whatever. But you're going to lose games. Doesn't matter. They host the Warriors next Wednesday, round one, NBA Cup.
I love that they're playing the Warriors, too. I mean, look, there's clearly a little bit of a rivalry going back to last year with some of the bleep talk between not playing Tari Eason and Draymond Green. Green seems to respect Eason for what it's worth, even though, of course, the Warriors ended the Rockets' fun little run towards the end of last year. But you got to beat the best to be the best. The Rockets beat the Thunder already. Okay. Golden State Warriors are off to a pretty good start, all things considered. I don't think people expected them to be like this, too. Good. They're going to be tested early on this year. And, I mean, I don't know what the ceiling is for this year's team, but there isn't one that I could really think of other than, like, okay, maybe Western Conference Finals and beyond. Like, that seems like a stretch. But I really like the way this year has started. And considering the Houston Texans are on a bye week, that we get to focus on these guys instead. And I know they lost last night. Nice change of pace.
I'll be honest. I don't. What's the ceiling for this team? I think Western Conference Finals.
You think they can make it?
Look at last year.
Yeah.
Before the start of last season, would anyone have picked the Timberwolves or the Mavericks to be two of the four final teams in the Western Conference?
You're right, but Anthony Edwards and Luka Doncic make it different.
That's what the Rockets are missing, right? They don't have an SGA. They don't even have Ja Morant, right? Who's you know, they're only a game back of them in the standings.
He's not right dunking, now. Ja Morant.
Yeah, he's not.
He wants everyone to know he cares about safety.
But like the Clippers, the Suns, the Nuggets, like the Nuggets have Jokic, but like what's the rest of the team? They like, I'm not scared of LeBron.
But it's Jokic though. Like Jokic all time player
for sure. But
so that's what's missing.
Good team basketball.
That's what's missing. Theoretically, that guy could, I guess, come into being by the end of the year. But I'm not expecting that to happen.
I'm not expecting either. I just, if they got to at least the Western Conference semifinals, like that to me seems, especially if you're a top four seed, that's obviously very reasonable. know, if you're playing teams that are having to battle through a play-in tournament or just teams that are dealing with injuries, as long as they stay healthy, they have the right coach.
They have the defensive mindset. I think they have the aggressive mindset. Like, they really have taken on Udoka's personality. But I think, as pointed out on the Twitch, there's the three-point shooting, the ball handling. Like, those are the things that ultimately you look at them, you compare them to the teams that have been there and done that. It makes it a little bit hard to believe that they'll go all the way, right? It's just fun to start off.
You're also going to be playing, what, six guys in the playoffs that are 22 or under?
That too.
That normally comes with some complications. 100%. I mean, we saw it last year with the Thunder. Thunder lost, they're the one seed, lost in the second round. So I do think that without, you know, Alperen Şengün or Jalen Green like fully blossoming, coming into their own, which they could keep taking steps. Jalen, you know, another good game. Let's make it a little bit more often. I think that they can, yeah, win a playoff series is probably where I'd put the cap on.
And yeah, like, I mean, talk about goals. Like, yeah, start there. Make the playoffs outside the play-in tournament. But at this point, I got to find this. But of like 587 teams that have started the season with the Rockets record, all of them but one have made the playoffs in the history of the NBA. So there, if you follow the history of the NBA, they're a playoff team.
Yeah, and 6 weeks ago, six weeks ago, if you would have sat here and said, like, I think the Rockets can be a top four seed and win a playoff series, you'd be like, what the hell are you smoking? Right. Like, all three of us would be like, listen, we like the Rockets, but come on, like, tone it down a little. We're all like, playing is a success. And now, at this point, if they make the play-in, like, the last 60 games of the season had to have gone pretty poorly.
Correct. Nice to see their scrappiness in the loss last night. And it's nice to see Houston sports teams are bad boys now. I like it. Being the villain is fun. You already know that with the Houston Astros, and now you're getting a taste of it with the other teams. If there's one thing that will get this bandwagon-y sports town that has a lot of transplants like me and like you, Joe, it's to make people feel something. And I like feeling something in December. I like being mad at referees. Mainly because Ime Udoka's calling out his eyesight. I love it. If you want to weigh in on that game or what you're hearing from the Houston Rockets, the Houston Texans, you can 713-780-3776. To call, to text, you can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. And I am wearing, spikes on my shoulders. I have multiple teardrops on my face, tattooed. I am war painted up, and I'm wearing chaps, which have been pointed out to me, all chaps are assless. So, okay. Didn't know that. But
I didn't know that either.
Now I do. I thought I was doing something special to stick with the brand today as I'm dressed up like a biker in a biker gang. Because Houston sports, the ultimate biker gang. Up next, more fallout from Azeez Alshayer's 3-game suspension by the NFL. God, or at least my God, respect my religion, has spoken on the matter. And if his voice holds any truth to the rest of the football cognoscenti, Azeez Alshayer will be walking on water with 0 games suspensions. Hear from Tom next. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. You enter the promo code BET975. Guess what's going to happen? All sorts of fun. You're going to get a deposit bonus that is doubling that initial deposit. Or if you are an already existing customer at MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975, you get a reload bonus with that very same code. You want to do some? Want to get crazy here? You want to have some fun? Well, what are the Rockets' odds to make the NBA playoffs? Right, like we're feeling pretty good about that right now. Yes, -526. No, +380. Huh? That seems like it's gonna get you something back. Say you were to bet on that. Let's get a little crazier. NBA Conference Champions in the West. What are the Rockets' odds right now? Rockets at +1450. Okay, a little more of a reach, but it's a fun bet. How about the Rockets to actually win the NBA Championship at mybookie.ag? Promo code BET975. They're behind the Sixers? Are you effing kidding me? +4600, the Rockets. That's a real fun bet. The Sixers are +3,900. MyBookie.ag, can you put some respect on the Houston Rockets' name? Otherwise, me and my teardrops might be knocking on your door, but we do like the money you give me. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Azeez Al-Shaair was suspended 3 games by the National Football League yesterday. Lots of others reacted to that news, not just Texans general manager Nick Caserio and Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans, who I believe knew that Azeez was getting suspended and might have read that note that John Runyon wrote to Azeez that basically called his character into question. I do feel there's potentially a chance, I think it's a very slim one, where if this was a neutral court for Al-Shaair to get that suspended, knocked down a couple of games, because you want to lawyer the NFL here. They don't actually cite what it is that Azeez Al-Shaair was doing with his habitual line stepping. Like, they don't actually give the specific examples, Joe. But I think the big problem is the NFL is a kangaroo court. It is bull bleep, and it is based on popular opinion. How do people feel about something we did? And I think one of the reasons that they might have kind of ridden up Al-Shaair the way that they did in that, even if he is a habitual line stepper, was to justify the 3-game suspension.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's going to happen. Like if, especially because we know they're going to watch ESPN and, of course, their own NFL network, and they're going to see what Stephen A. Smith and these guys are saying. So they're not going to hear all the former players, you know, speaking out on social media about the play and the reaction after. And honestly, none of it should matter. Like, that's part of this. Is none of that should matter.
It's none of what specifically?
Like, any of the noise. None of the noise around, like, the anger that, like, you hear on television. Because I think that factored in. Like, it's...
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Like, none of ESPN or anyone's comments or DeMeco's comments. Like, I know Stephen A. Smith was trying to blame DeMeco Ryans for it being a 3-game suspension because it said DeMeco started talking on Monday about the hit, where I think your timeline is the one that's correct, where he'd already spoken to John Runyon and already knew what was on its way, even if he hadn't read the letter exactly.
He was so specific sticking up for Al-Shaair's character, and it was as if he had read that specific part of it.
Yeah.
Because DeMeco is, let's be honest, a rather boring person when he's in front of a microphone. That's not to say behind the scenes that's what he is, but he watches what he says generally. And, I mean, and you heard his answer. He said, well, look, Lawrence has to get down. We stand in front of Azeez Al-Shaair here. We got his back. So we'll see. I'm not expecting any appeal to work here, but maybe if we listen to my personal Lord and Savior, my Tom is an awesome Tom. His last name is Brady. He won 7 Super Bowls and he also went to 10. He was on the Colin Cowherd show and he told a story that I've probably told you about as one of Tom Brady's divine prophets. The prophet of truth, about a moment in time where he learned, you know what? I got to be smart. I got to protect myself.
I remember in 2001, I think we played at Buffalo, and I slid late, and Nate Clements was the corner for the Bills, and he came up out of the secondary and absolutely crushed me. My helmet went flying off, and I got back, and I ran to the huddle, and I had a lot of teammates that came up to me the next day and said, dude, these guys are coming. You got to get rid of that football. And if you're going to slide, you better get down. These guys are coming to get you. And it was a great kind of learning experience for me because I realized that when I'm out of that pocket, things were moving a lot faster for me. And
right. And
the defense is trying to be very aggressive. And over time, the NFL has obviously done a lot of things to, you know, protect players and player health and safety. It's been on and on and on. And the only aspect that I think is very challenging, and certainly for Trevor Lawrence, nobody wants to see anybody get hurt, but it is also the reality of a very physical sport that we play.
Yeah.
But the only way defensive players have to be aggressive.
They do.
And someone you should listen to people like that. You should listen to a guy.
God, yes.
I don't know. when people are putting out these montages about him being a habitual line stepper, it starts with Tom Brady.
It does.
It starts with Tom Brady. And
there's no hard feelings from Tom Brady towards Aziz Alshire because my Lord is a forgiving one, okay?
Look, the quarterbacks are even telling you, the best quarterbacks of our lifetime are telling you how hard it is for defenses. Aaron Rodgers this year got fell on too hard. They called a 15-yard roughing the passer penalty. You know what he said on Pat McAfee that week? Shouldn't have been a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Even they're starting to tell you. Now, once again, the hit sucks. Like, everything that happened after, terrible. I get the suspension. I get that he was suspended. I don't agree with the length of it. But the players that have left the sport recently are all telling you the same thing. That's why I think they got it wrong.
And on top of that, you've got players in the league embellishing a little bit to get those calls, which I find to be morally wrong. I think you lack honor if you're somebody who flops in any sport. Soccer especially. Basketball's gotten bad, but football quarterbacks are doing it. And how many times do you see a pouty Patrick Mahomes or back in the day, Tom Brady, when they got pushed a little bit? Because they all want every single competitive advantage that they can possibly get. But defensive players do have it very hard there. And I like that Tom Brady, at least out of the league, is willing to acknowledge how difficult it is. He continued saying on The Herd with Colin Cowherd that quarterbacks need to take better care of themselves. Here's my Lord and Savior, Tom Brady.
And the certainly the quarterbacks need to take better care of themselves. I see Josh Allen running a lot. I see Lamar Jackson running a lot. And it's a great skill set to have. A lot of times, I wish I had that skill set. And at the same time, when you run, you put yourself in a lot of danger. And when you do that, I don't think the onus of protecting an offensive quarterback who's running should be on a defensive player. I don't think that's really fair to the defense. So if you slide and it's, you know, everyone can argue, was it black and white or was it just a gray area? Do you slide late or is it unnecessary roughness or is it a late hit? You know, to me, a late hit is very late. You know, there's quarterbacks that I see running and tiptoe on the sideline. And they're not even out of bounds, and they get hit as they're starting to step out of bounds, and there's a penalty flag thrown. So the aspect, again, for a play caller, there's more design runs for quarterbacks ever now than in the history of the NFL. So are we really trying to protect quarterbacks? Because if you are trying to do it through the rules, then why are the offensive coordinators not protecting their quarterbacks by...
Edward Patrick Brady Jr. Amen. The voice of God. For me. Respect my religion.
What's his name?
Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr.
I didn't know that.
Amen.
You know, it's funny because it's almost like victim blaming a little bit what Tom is saying. Because he talks about the designed run plays and everything. It's very clear he thinks the quarterback should be more protected in the pocket than outside. You know, I do agree with that.
In the pocket, it makes sense. Yes, it does. And look, someone might say, well, Tom Brady's jealous that he wasn't mobile. And by the way... Well,
he said that.
He said it right there, right. But there are lots of plays that are designed for quarterbacks to run downfield. And I think the quarterbacks who are used to doing it, they run a little bit more like running backs. Like Lamar Jackson does slide from time to time, but Lamar Jackson also will dive headfirst. Josh Allen does it a lot, and we get mad at Josh Allen for diving headfirst. Oh, he's not protecting himself. Is he? Is he protecting himself by sliding?
I think you're more protected diving forward because you're going to hit your shoulder, like, or you're going to get concussed.
What? Yeah.
Like you're going to hurt your shoulder potentially or get hit in the back versus getting a concussion. And what's easier to hurt? Your brain? Or any other part of your body. It's your brain. Like, we know, like, Trevor's rattling around up there right now, still not practicing this week. He's right. It's a problem. Like, that's why CJ Stroud, think back to the Georgia game and how incredible it was that he ran all the time. But I appreciate that he doesn't do it now because I would rather see my quarterback stay in the pocket and have success there. You don't have to run all the time.
You don't, but when you do, protect yourself.
Yes.
It's a contact game. I just find it weird that we've all accepted that a quarterback is under different rules and that we get mad at a quarterback getting pushed a little bit when it's on our team because we want to get those extra 15 yards. Like, I hate that. And it happened in the Texas A&M game on Saturday night a couple of times. Friends that are Aggies and friends that are Longhorns both got mad at me for pointing out, like, can we stop being soft here? It's a violent game, and look, quarterbacks are going to get hit, but are they wearing helmets? Yes. Are they wearing shoulder pads? Yes. Those are designed to protect them. Do you know what doesn't protect you ever on a football field? When you're not going 100%. And the slide sort of lends itself to this weird gray area, this moment in time where you are slowing down and putting your body at risk.
Yeah, you're slamming on the brakes, and they're still going 100 miles an hour. And that's kind of what we see in this, like, instant reaction. And that's where it goes back to the very beginning of this. Like, as Darryl Moose Johnson and these guys are just waxing poetically about how the NFL has been ruined and there's no respect in sportsmanship. Well, like, they're watching it through the lens of it being in slow motion. And I think that's the biggest, you know, challenge of this, too, for, like, what the NFL, the suspension was, is how do you look at this? Because in slow motion, it looks so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But in real time, it's bad, but it's not as severe. I do think they're going to drop the suspension. I don't think it's going to go from 3-1. I think it just goes from 3-2. Like, there are precedents that have happened before. We saw Kareem Jackson, one of his suspensions, get dropped. Typically, we see these. Because the biggest part about this, for me, that matters, is the slandering of character that Azeez Al-Shaair faced. Because they, you know, the way they challenged him without... I saw a tweet that at one point said... Not even sure if John Renan spoke to Azeez Al-Shaair before the suspension.
Oh, he definitely didn't.
So if Azeez goes into the meeting with, you know, Derek Brooks or whoever it is, and he has, like, actual, like, is, like, apologetic, well, it seems like a third of the suspension is based on what John Renan thinks of Azeez's character. So that's why I think you have to. You're going to see a drop at least again.
Listen, John Runyon, that man does not have an original thought in his brain. I went to a broadcasting camp outside of Philadelphia when I was 17. Okay, and that guy actually spoke to us. I remember him speaking to us. He was so boring. And this is the kind of person that after his playing career is done, okay, he's not going to go into media, but this is a New Jersey politician, okay? This guy, you have somebody that's higher up the food chain that tells him what to do. He will ask, how high do I jump here? So they make it so that John Runyon's writing this, but Runyon is taking the heat for the actual league, which probably said, hey, justify this as much as you can. Do our job, okay? You're uncreative, and you're not somebody who ever will cut it in media because you're boring, so you can do the same kind of stuff that you probably did as a congressman in New Jersey. And I'll just leave that there because I expect all New Jersey congressmen to occasionally drive people to the Meadowlands, and I'm not talking about the stadium, sometimes to imply things.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Listen, he's this guy's just going to do what they tell him to do, and... He did, in that moment in time, I think, try to make it so that it's justified that whatever they did to Azeez Al-Shaair, he's going to look as bad as possible. And I think that Nick Caserio, in that press conference, pushing back on it, is good. But I don't know what it actually leads to, you know?
Yeah, because it's hard to say. Like what do people agree with John Runyon? Like, that's really the question. Is the one person, and maybe that's part of the problem with the NFL's process here, is it seems that you have these different people on these different committees, but it's not, you know, Derek Brooks, Kevin Mawai, and someone else all listening to Azeez. It seems that it's one person. And I think that's just a bad way to hand out punishments in general. You shouldn't have one person making every single decision because you don't have differing opinions in the room. You should at least have two, so there's some kind of middle ground that you can find. So I do think it gets dropped a game, but I don't know. I just don't think, like I really think most of this is such an overreaction still that, like, we're going to see – we see things like this happen very often – and I don't know why this one was, you know, signified so much as such a big deal. Like, we see quarterbacks get hit like this all the time. It happens weekly in college, in the NFL. It's unfortunate, but as we've discussed here, when you slide like this and you slow down that much, players don't react correctly.
Right.
So they, whatever reason, decided that Azeez is a very bad person. That's what the NFL decided. That's what social media decided. And they just ran with it. But this happens all the time.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. There are more reactions that we have to get to the suspension of Azeez Al-Shaair. But up next, oh, what a day for this. Soft boys. Who's been soft in the world of sports? Interestingly, another quarterback who runs often was called soft by his own mother. I'm not kidding. Stick around and find out who.
Soft boys, in a tough sitch, Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
In honor of the time Ime Udoka called LeBron James a soft-ass boy last season, by the way, Ime Udoka's calling out the eyesight of referees and threatening on the court last night. Gotta love it.
Gotta love your Houston Rockets, who did lose to the Kings last night, but they are on to quarterfinal play in the NBA Cup to play the Golden State Warriors. Rex Ryan is a defensive-minded former head coach that you now can see often on ESPN. I do think that he has a gift for the gab. Here he is, like Tom Brady, but more vociferously, victim-blaming Trevor Lawrence for getting that.
Yeah, you got to learn how to protect yourself. And I'm going to tell you right now, obviously it was a dirty hit. I am so sick and tired of seeing people teach, you know, hey, slide. When you're running out here, you slide. The hell you do. Not when you're going full speed down the field and a defender's coming full speed at you. You don't slide. I can see this happens over and over and over again. All you have to do is watch every Saturday college football. 2 to 3 of these happen every single week. Mm-hmm. I'm sick and tired of it. You are not protecting your quarterback when you teach him how to slide when it's not in the open field. Open field, of course, that's great. Absolutely not here. If you want to get a concussion, you slide like this when contact's coming.
What should they be taught to do?
They should be taught to dive at the ankles of the defender or run the football and keep your head out of it.
Too long, didn't listen. Rex Ryan said the hit was cheap, but that Trevor Lawrence slid like a bitch. Am I wrong?
No, yes.
And he did say that.
And he's right.
Now, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that's what his tone suggests.
He's right. Is it a bad hit, illegal hit? Yes. Would I call it dirty? No. But is it a very bad hit? Yes. Should these quarterbacks be sliding like this? No.
More quarterbacks and they're sliding. They're not sliding. Lamar Jackson, quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens, didn't have his first rushing attempt against Philadelphia on Sunday until the final minute of the first half. Per his mom, since he didn't really run in this game, he had that run and he had a run at the very end, 39 yards in garbage time. Lamar Jackson said his mother cussed him out because he wasn't playing to his strengths, because he wasn't running. And honestly, I think that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great mom.
His mom called him soft.
It's a great agent, because she's also that.
That's true.
So, you know, she's not worried about her client's safety. She's worried about her client winning another MVP and trying to actually perform in the playoffs.
She's not caring about her son's safety. That's a hard mom.
Yeah.
Not soft boy.
She's not a soft girl.
But she's essentially calling her son soft for not running more.
Yeah, run!
Run, Lamar, run!
And they kind of have abandoned it. Early in the season, they were running like the kind of the read option stuff with him and Derrick Henry, or at least it looked like Lamar might take off, and he occasionally would, but they definitely have pulled back. They're trying to do the whole you're a pocket passer thing and taking away his biggest strength.
He is better at throwing than he's given credit for.
100%.
But he is better than probably any quarterback in NFL history. Sorry, Michael Vick, when it comes to running. No one is as slippery as Jackson with the same kind of speed. And Vic did some cool stuff, for sure. But Vic was such a novelty compared to every other quarterback that we'd seen before. I think that's why we all looked at him and we put him on a pedestal. Jackson is a better version of this.
Yeah, Michael Vick is the greatest home run hitter probably in all of the NFL. Like, think about the throws to DeSean Jackson.
At quarterback.
Like, the throws deep down the field to DeSean Jackson, the running ability were always big plays. But, like, as just, like, an effective runner, Lamar's definitely better.
Yeah, and Michael Vick also played in a very different league, a league that wasn't as fast, like, where the defenses weren't built to be fast. They were built to be big and strong.
And slow.
And so, you know, that's how you get the run against Minnesota in the playoffs and what he did against the Packers. It's like, yeah, because he's playing on one notch lower when it comes to everyone else's speed, as opposed to Lamar, who plays with, you know, there's 6 defensive backs on the field at all times.
But the Minnesota one where he like slips through 2 guys and they collide into each
insane.
Other, that's like my favorite play of all
it's
time.
It's insane.
It's such a great highlight.
By the way, the Ravens now 8-5 after that loss to Philadelphia, where Justin Tucker, yikes, he stunk in that game.
He is bad, and if he was on any other team, honestly, are the Baltimore Ravens soft boys for not bringing another kicker in?
Maybe.
He cost them 7 points last weekend.
It is still Justin Tucker. It's hard to move on from him and think that you're going to find someone better at this point in the year.
Back of the baseball card, Paul.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, you just went full Jeff Bagwell.
I will with Justin Tucker. I don't know if you're finding anybody else. But anyway, Baltimore 8-5. Houston Texans 8-5. Texans swarm?
I mean, right now, Baltimore's not coming to Houston for the first round of the playoffs. The Chargers are.
That's not ideal. That's not ideal. I mean, you got 4 8-win teams in the AFC. Chargers, Texans, Ravens, Broncos. We'll see what happens. Right now, of all the teams that would make the playoffs, if the season were to end today, the Houston Texans have the lowest point differential. Yes, behind that of Denver. Yes, behind that of the Chargers.
Not great.
The Steelers, too.
Not great.
More soft boys. Well, yes, the Texans might have lost to the Tennessee Titans, but how about Titans player Jarvis Brownlee talking about why his Titans lost on Sunday?
I think we just, guys ain't come out playing fast enough. Like you said, we had a lot of turnovers in the first half, and that was damn in the first quarter. So I don't think guys was locked in anymore. I think guys let the cold get to them. Because, I mean, I'm a Florida guy. I don't like the cold, but I know what comes with playing in this profession. And sometimes, you know, you're going to have to play through things that you don't like. And I think guys let the cold affect them today. You know, a lot of guys ain't going to say it, but that's what I think happened.
Commanders were up 42-19. At the end of the game, they're up 21-0 at the end of the first quarter on Tennessee. So, yeah, it stands to reason he was not ready for that. I do like that he said, I'm a Florida guy, so I don't like it, but we got to be tougher than that. How do you be tougher in the cold, though?
It's not cold. This is the softest take of all time.
It's not cold?
It was 40 degrees.
Oh, this is if a Northeasterner's in this weather, they might be wearing shorts. Now, they're probably wearing a hoodie, but they might be wearing shorts. That is for sure.
It's also... Jaden Daniels was the quarterback who's from California, went to Arizona State and LSU. it's not like he's a Big Ten West quarterback here.
Like 40 degrees is great football weather because like you're not going to be sweating too hard. Like you're going to feel nice and cool the whole game. You're going to feel refreshed when you get to the sidelines. This isn't the Bills game. This is the softest take of the year.
Also, and I could be wrong, but I don't believe Nashville is all that further south from Washington, D.C. Obviously, D.C. is on the coast, and you know, climate might be a little bit different. But it's not like Tennessee's Florida, you know? I don't know. You should be getting used to the old temperature by this point.
I bet you it's the exact same temperature right now.
It does get to 40 in Tennessee. Like, that's not crazy.
Yeah.
Right now, it's 54, right at this second. It's 54 degrees in Nashville, 41 degrees in Maryland.
Okay, so there's a difference.
It's 10 degrees. Like, it's okay.
Hey, come on.
It's not cold enough to snow. It's not cold.
Is that the line?
Chicago Joe here.
I know.
Is that the line?
I mean,
snowfall?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or pretty close to it, at least. I think below 40.
It's 40. It was 40.
Below.
He's from Florida.
Oh, well. Get over it.
Not soft. Baker Mayfield, who had this to say about all the flag planting and brouhaha-ing the Donnybrooks that took place on Saturday and all over the last week of the college football regular season, said Baker Mayfield, college football is meant to have rivalries. Let the boys play. That's like the Big 12 banning the horns down signal. He had to get that in there. Let the boys play. If you haven't seen it already, I highly encourage you to find the one shining moment for college football rivalry weekend. It's just, who's the guy who sings that? Is that Luther Vandross?
Yes.
And it's just Luther Vandross underneath a bunch of players brawling and trying to plant flags in the middle of the field.
The funniest part of all the clips is the snatching the flag away from someone else. And then they're kind of like jostling back and forth with like, the flag or the Arizona State Sun Devil trident that they had that they're fighting over in Arizona State. Like, just that's always the funniest part. It's like, you're just going to try to take the flag and Mike Norvell's throwing the Florida flag away. Like,
yeah.
It's so silly.
Soft boys, question mark, the Ohio State police officers for using pepper spray?
Well,
I'm just asking the question.
Let's put ourselves in their shoes. You're a cop.
You're an Ohio State fan.
You're probably an Ohio State fan.
But they got Ohio State players.
Things are getting out of control. You have some plausible deniability.
You're upset.
You're very mad that you lost the game against the worst Michigan team we've seen in years.
Now, if the only people who got pepper sprayed were Michigan football players and Ryan Day, then I think there's foul play involved.
Yeah. I saw one of Dan Lebatard's producers was on the field and got pepper sprayed.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Like, there's other media members.
Yeah, like camera people or something.
Yeah, like I imagine people from Fox or whatever like got pepper sprayed right there. I'm gonna go soft.
I don't know. It's a hard job. It's a hard job.
They're the only cops in all the fighting that happened this weekend that use pepper spray.
So we're like 25%. That's a good rate. Actually, probably less than 25%. It's like 10%.
Have you guys ever seen the game Bo Daioshi?
No.
Okay. So it's a Japanese sport. There's two teams. One is 75 defenders, and one is 75 attackers. The 75 defenders hold a pole. There's a guy at the top of this pole on defense. The 75 attackers basically swarm the 75 defenders, and they try to climb up the pole and knock that guy off. It is the coolest game. Everyone needs to take a look at Bo Daioshi. I wish this was an American sport. It is awesome. And those guys, they clearly don't think flag planting or flag taking is soft. And, I mean, is it not our flag here in Texas? Come and take it? Come on.
Yeah.
Paul, this looks incredible.
It's an awesome game.
Is there, like, strategy?
Yes.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if there's anything more than get them.
The defending team loses when their pole is lowered below 30 degree to the horizontal.
This is literally just chaos.
It's people
just running, breaking up this wall, and then trying to climb on top of people to get this guy off the pole. We need to... Christmas party?
Wait, how do you...
We might need to have some waivers signed.
I think we have those.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Because it's probably going to be in the parking lot, right?
Is like full contact?
Don't we have someone get
that... They have helmets.
Doesn't somebody get injured every single holiday Christmas party, given
probably.
That we, like, didn't we, like, roll a ball out in the middle of a parking lot?
Probably.
I think one, there's, like, a 40-yard dash. Like, that one's not on us.
What's happening this year?
This year, all I know is that we're bringing two cameras. So anyone that can't be there, we're going to live stream all the games. Oh. So, like, the eggnog chugging contest and everything. So people are going to be able to watch.
Yeah.
Watch it live.
Oh, no. What you're thinking of, the ball one, is the onside kick recovery game. Where, someone did run into a car.
Yeah, I think this game we might...
So there you go, soft boys.
Can we play Bo Daioshi at the Christmas
party? I would love to play Bo Daioshi anywhere.
Do you think we can get our hands on a giant pole in 20 days?
Probably. Go to the Home Depot or Lowe's.
Yeah, can we make one?
Get stuff done. I mean, would you want to make a giant pole
that someone has to stand on top of?
Joe?
No.
Why would
not stand.
Why would we make this? We could just go and get the lumber. Now, the lumber's probably going to be expensive. That's a problem these days. That is a problem.
Do we have a sponsor that can maybe help us out?
Home Depot or Lowe's. Let's go.
We play cricket in Houston. Like
Bearings.
Is there anyone that just like plays Bo Daioshi in Houston that we don't know about?
No,
Is there like a club?
I wish.
like the...
People play cricket. People play polo. Yeah.
What's the one inside?
Bocce?
The one where it's like it looks like wall ball basically, but they have that giant scooper thing that they throw.
High lie.
They play that.
Huh?
I just know that from the one movie.
The one movie? What's the one movie?
Johnny Depp, Black Mass.
Oh,
remember they do like the illegal gambling in High Life. That's the only thing I know. And it's always on Space City Home Network.
Black Mass is disappointing.
Yeah, that's how I know it.
It's always on Space
City Home Network.
Black Mass, massively disappointing.
Very disappointing.
Because I was so excited. That movie.
Because it didn't show everybody what Whitey Bulger did for the community. Whitey Bulger did a lot for the community.
I mean,
go up to Boston and talk to anyone in Southie. The amount of people that believe that Whitey Bulger, who was a murderer, was like good for the community, it's hilarious. I'm sure that like every other neighborhood that's had gangs or that's had mafia and stuff. Like you got people that
people
are
like Al Capone.
Yeah, they did a lot for the community. Yeah, a lot of head breaking.
Built some playgrounds.
Yeah, buried some people in them. You know, no big deal.
Gave a lot of people construction jobs. All right.
Yeah, that's true. Look,
help the economy.
It's Kalani and George. That was Soft Boys, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 every single Wednesday at 12:30. Who's been soft in the world of sports? Are we feeling any better about the Houston Texans in the midst of their bye week going into a 3-game stretch in 10 days without one of their best defensive players? We'll discuss. Stay put.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.